Here you go, buddy. I got you some brand new scrap paper.
After the show, can I keep the scrap paper?
Yeah, you're welcome. I know how you love the scrap paper.
I've been collecting it for 30 years.
Care to introduce the show?
Nah. Let's just go. Let's just roll.
All right.
Introduce it to who? New listeners? People that aren't familiar with us?
Yeah.
Is there such an animal out there?
Oh, that's probably most of our listeners, yeah.
I guess it is. I envy them. Listen, let's not ruin it for them.
Okay.
Let's just start the show.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go. You go first. How was your week, my friend?
Well, the week's only half over, you know. I know the time's a blur for retired unemployed people such as yourself. But
it really is. It's like Groundhog Day. I feel like I was just here.
Are you still pretending to go to work?
I go to my office. I do.
Yeah?
I just stare at the clock.
That help ground you?
5 o'clock. Pick up that briefcase. Head back out the door.
Really?
Sometimes it seems like the clock stops. I have to get up and tap it and make sure it's still going. But it's always still going.
Well, this must have been a very exciting week for you at work because of the time change.
Yeah, I gained an hour.
Yeah, did you have to go through the whole office and change all the clocks?
It's a long hour. You know, did I ever tell you about my business idea? It would be me and a couple of guys. Well, I guess we'd have a fleet of vans, maybe 5 or 6 vans, right?
Uh-huh.
The name of the business would be Leap Ahead Incorporated, right?
Okay.
Every time, twice a year when the clocks are moved up or the clocks are moved back, you can call us. You have to give us some notice, a couple of days' notice.
Yeah.
We will come to your house. My crew will come to your house. We will go through your whole house, top to bottom, floor by floor, room by room, change every clock in the house. You don't have to do it. It is service that we provide. And we'll see you in 6 months.
It's a terrible idea.
No, you can have a contract with us, an annual contract. We'd come twice a year.
Yeah, I would not invest. Because it's...
What if we had 10 vans, not 5?
I still would not invest. It's
Okay. We have 15 vans.
It's a pointless service.
We have a payroll. We have a pointless service.
Yeah.
How many clocks do you have in your house?
I got a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, we have 8 or 9 in our house.
I think I only have 2.
Don't you dread it?
No. I have one on the coffee maker and one on the microwave. And then all the other clocks in the house automatically change.
You know what would be the worst client we could have? The clock store. That guy thinks he could just pay me a flat rate and I'd change every clock on his shelf, every clock on the wall at the clock store or the watch store.
Well, this is what
No way. No way.
Your company.
No, you're going to pay per piece, Mr. Clock Store Owner.
Your company advertised will come and change all your clocks.
Chapter 11. We're going under. I give up. It's the damn Timex.
Yeah, you should have said.
The damn Timex store.
Yeah, you shouldn't have said that you'd change
all right. In hindsight, of course, you're right. Oh, damn it.
Well, we have a really great show planned for tonight.
Yeah, it's great.
It's called When Great Speeches Collide.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about this show? Fans of the show might want to take note.
Yeah.
The reason we're doing this show tonight, this idea tonight, is because we've been on the air for 30-some years, 30-plus years.
Right.
And this is it. This is the last idea in the world that we've yet to do. We do a different idea, a different show, different topic, different stunt every week. This is it. There's nothing after this.
I don't believe
you. We've been putting this off for 30 years. This is the last one.
You never proposed this idea before last night.
I've had it in my back pocket. I knew this
really?
Was it. This was it, Ken. We've done everything else. You're not going to like this show. This show is flawed from the beginning.
Well, I think
please remember, it's the only idea left on the shelf.
So what do we do next week?
Well, we start over.
Oh, start over right where we began in 1991. I remember. Yeah. I remember the first show.
I remember the first show I did. What was the first show you remember?
I'm talking about the first show that you did with Will or whoever the original.
Oh, I remember my audition show where I was solo.
I think I have the tape of that.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to lose that. You want to donate that to the broadcast museum.
But I remember the first show you did, like, as a call-in, which was getting movie ideas, and then you would pitch it to a real Hollywood agent, and you did.
Oh, yeah. That sort of made me the household name I am today.
Yeah, that was August 91 or September 91 or something.
Do you remember my audition tape?
I remember your solo audition tape. I still have it.
There was a cartoon, a syndicated cartoon in the newspaper called They'll Do It Every Time.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Where people wrote in ideas for inventions or ideas for new gizmos.
That's right. Oh yeah.
And some newspaper cartoonist would illustrate it, and he'd always say thanks to Joe Smith, Buffalo,
right.
New York.
I remember.
So
that.
You knew who contributed that idea, and my audition show was. I took a few days worth of They'll Do It Every Time cartoons and called the people. To congratulate them.
You actually tracked them down.
Well, in those days, people would answer the landlines.
Yeah.
You could track them down. There was a phone directory. Remember calling information? 411?
Kinda, yeah. Barely.
411, Joe Smith, Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, I remember collect calls.
Yeah.
Credit card calls.
Yeah, this is a great way to begin the show. Two geezers.
I remember all of it.
Two geezers reminiscing. You kids have no idea.
So tonight we're doing When Great Speeches Collide.
How does this work, Ken?
And we have six speeches up on the Fuzzy Glove Hour playlist.
They're famous classic speeches from history.
Right.
They're kind of short.
There's Winston Churchill's We Shall Never Surrender speech.
The Gettysburg Address.
The Gettysburg Address. FDR's A Date Which Will Live in Infamy.
Okay.
Lou Gehrig's Farewell to Baseball speech.
Yeah, The Luckiest Man Alive.
Sojourner Truth's Ain't I a Woman speech.
Yeah.
And the famous Blood and Iron speech from Otto von Bismarck.
Yeah, the famous one.
Yeah.
Not the lesser known.
No, this was the big one.
Bismarck speech.
Yeah, Otto von Bismarck.
Yeah.
And the idea is that we're going to have two people reading the speech.
Yeah, wait, hold on. So you're gonna tell them the idea now.
Yeah.
You don't want to put that off.
No, I'm telling them the idea.
I'll remind our listeners, we have nothing else. There's no other idea in the hopper.
This was Andy Breckman's idea.
No, it was not my, well.
It was only
my idea by default. We had nothing else.
Well, it is the last idea.
The last idea standing.
But you were the one who raised it. I would not have brought this one up. Even
two
knowing,
callers. Caller on line one, caller on line two.
Right. The caller on line one reads one of these speeches from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
Caller number two, at the same time, reads the speech from the end to the beginning.
Reads it backwards?
Backwards, one word at a time.
Well, then at some point.
Not emulating backwards speech.
No, I know. Just
reading
one
every
word
right. Forward, but well, go moving in reverse.
Well, we'll
order.
Demonstrate this in a minute. Yeah. And at some point. These two speeches will collide.
Right.
They're on the same track.
Exactly.
The guy going frontwards and the guy going backwards.
It's like a train wreck.
Well, how fitting is that? How fitting is that for a 7-second delay?
All right, so shall we do Otto von Bismarck's famous...
We're going to demonstrate?
Blood and Iron speech.
Okay, are you queued up with your special surprise?
Yep, I am.
Because I'm sure everyone's wondering, well, this is going to be stupid... And you're right about that, but I know you're also wondering. I wonder what will happen.
How stupid will it be? What manner of stupid?
What will happen when the two speeches collide?
Right.
The backward speech. And the speech going forward.
Right.
What will happen? You'll have to stay tuned. Lean into that radio. Turn it up. If you're operating heavy machinery, you might want to pull over.
All right, so we're going to read the famous speech by Otto von Bismarck.
Stop saying it's famous.
Oh, it is.
Oh, please.
This was when he was...
Yeah, so you can do it by heart, I guess.
He was
it's
trying
so famous.
To, he was trying to reunite Germany and Prussia.
Fine. Yeah, it's famous.
Otto von Bismarck. You read
the guy
it.
The guy that Googled it 4 minutes before showtime.
You start at the
it's
beginning.
Famous. You're going to read it backwards?
And I'm going to start at the end.
Well, we're going to collide with each other at some point.
Maybe we will.
What will happen?
Maybe I'll jump over you.
No, you can't do that. But listen, shouldn't you give me a head start? Because you're going to be reading backwards. You're going to be reading slower than I am.
I don't know about that.
You think you can read it as fast as me?
Maybe.
You think we'll hit each other in the middle?
Yeah.
Oh, give me a head start.
No. Ready?
Why does that make me mad? Why is my life so small and petty
that
I just
fixate?
Let the baby have his bottle.
You can have a head start.
I'm not going to argue with you, sweetheart.
All right, ready?
Yes.
On your mark, get set. Go.
Place in the hands of the King of Prussia the strongest possible military power.
Shooting,
then he will be able to carry out the policy you wish. What happens when speeches collide?
Wow.
That's the most serious train wreck I ever heard.
That's a lot of death.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh. That's listener Trish being disgusted by the carnage. Oh! By the carnage. All right, that's how it works.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, why don't you tell them what they missed, Ken? Because you're not going to believe.
Well, we're playing the very popular party game when...
Would you say this idea is more awful than it is dumb, or is it more dumb than it is awful?
I think it's more awful than it is dumb.
No, it's dumb to awful, 65-45.
Ah, well,
65-35.
You're more experienced at these things than I am.
Okay, so we get a listener on line one. Reads the speech frontwards to backwards. Listener on line two reads the speech back to front.
And this time we're doing the Gettysburg Address.
Okay, which you can find anywhere on Google, but anywhere on the internet, but it's also on our website.
Yeah, you can go to WFMU.org, click on playlist and comments. You get to today's chat board, and there's all the speeches.
I'm going to give the phone number. Now, avert your eyes, Ken, because you'll be blinded. There'll be so many calls coming in.
Okay.
So many red lights on that board. 201-209-9368. You have to be near a computer or have the Gettysburg Address memorized. You know who didn't have the Gettysburg Address memorized? Lincoln.
Yeah,
he had a little crib sheet.
Yeah, yeah. That's
what I know it by heart. He wrote it and he didn't know it by heart.
All right, we got our first call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Pam.
Oh, hi, Pam.
Hey, Pam. You've been waiting for this show for years, am I right?
I have. I'm very excited. I would love to make worlds collide.
Okay, we just need someone to read.
It's better than being Godzilla.
It is better. We just need someone to read the Gettysburg Address. Pam, do you want to go frontwards or do you want to go backwards? Ladies' choice.
Can we do Lou Gehrig's speech?
Yeah, sure.
Do you want to do Lou Gehrig's speech backwards or do you want to do it frontwards? If you do it backwards, you'll know right away that he considers himself the luckiest man alive.
Well, I'm not. No, because you're supposed to read the words backwards.
Well, that's true.
I wouldn't mind the challenge of reading it backwards.
Okay,
so
Pam will be reading.
Pam's backwards, and we're going to take another call. Oh, not there. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. I'm just calling to read the Gettysburg Address.
Well, we kind of made an audible change. If you don't mind, if you're in front of a computer, It would be Lou Gehrig's speech.
I am looking at it on the computer, yes.
Lou Gehrig's speech, his farewell to baseball.
And your name, sir?
Okay, I'm looking at that one now.
Your name, sir?
Oh, it's Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Now, why did Lou Gehrig say farewell to baseball? He just couldn't cut it anymore?
Yeah, he was
just
fed
got
up.
Burned out?
Yeah, fed up.
Fed up?
Yep.
All the rules?
All the cheating, all the rules.
I don't think he wanted to be naked in the shower.
The umps. Well, that's one theory.
He wasn't allowed to cry.
Yeah, he wasn't allowed to cry.
He had done it all.
Yeah.
Was he married to Marilyn Monroe at this time, at this moment?
Still an active player?
I guess he was an active player. Can you imagine how he felt when they told him the name of the disease he had contracted? Mr. Gehrig, you have Lou Gehrig's disease. What?
Damn, I wish my mother had called me something different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's bad news, by the way, when you have a disease named after you. That's bad news. That means that they haven't seen a lot of it.
Oh, I was thinking of Joe DiMaggio, not Lou Gehrig.
Oh, wait. Queens wants to read with me.
Too late.
I can...
No. Michael, you're on the air now. Michael, you're going to be reading the Lou Gehrig speech forward to the end, from the beginning to the end. And Pam, you're going to read it from the end to the beginning.
I wonder when they're going to collide. You'll never know here on When Great Speeches Collide. We're at 201-209-9368. It's the last idea we had on the shelf. And we apologize from the bottom of our hearts. Nothing dumber.
I'm sure Pam and I are both honored to be here for the very final idea.
Yeah, this is it. Then we're going to start recycling them.
Okay, Pam
week.
And Michael, are you ready to go?
Yes,
my body is ready.
Okay, on your mark.
Should Pam have a head start?
Why?
Because
I'm a girl?
Because she's a girl. And, you know, 5% less cranial capacity.
Yeah.
And
that's not true, but...
Well, their heads are exactly the same size as ours. Their bodies are smaller. Because she'll be reading faster. She'll be reading forwards.
That didn't happen last time.
No,
she's
backwards.
Reading backwards. Oh, Michael should have a head start.
No.
I disagree.
Shouldn't he? You can't read backwards. You want him to hit in the middle, don't you?
It doesn't matter.
But how do you give somebody a head start in... All right, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Doesn't
and do,
matter.
Go ahead and do
now,
that.
Why do I care?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It can't get any easier than on your mark, get set, go.
Wait, there are four of us now on the air. You, Michael, Pam, and me.
Yeah.
One of us has to care.
I care.
Okay, that's it. We just need that.
Yeah.
We just got to have one. 201-209-9368. Ken cares. So can you decide, do they start at the same time?
Yeah, they start at the same
time. Okay.
All right, Michael and Pam, on your mark.
Sure.
Get set. Go.
For Liz Toulat,
for the past
and
2 weeks,
got,
you have been reading about a bad
break
I got.
Bad, a given
yet today
have,
I consider
might
myself
I
the luckiest man on the face of the
I
earth.
So. No,
I have been in ballpark for 17 years and have never received anything but kindness and encouragement
of
from
power,
you fans.
A bin has who
look
have,
at these grand men.
Who,
which one of you wouldn't consider it the highlight
you
of his
win.
Career?
Blessing,
just to associate with them for
body,
even one day.
And education
sure,
and
I'm lucky.
Can you
who wouldn't
so
consider it an honor to have known Jacob Ruppert? Also, the builder of baseball's greatest empire, Ed Barrow.
Have you win.
To have spent
something
6 years with that wonderful little fellow, Miller Huggins. Then to have spent the next 9 years with that outstanding leader, that smart student of psychology, the best manager in baseball today, Joe McCarthy.
With you, remember
sure,
what Coach
I'm
White,
lucky.
In boys,
when the New York Giants,
and groundskeepers,
a team,
the
you
two
would
down,
give your right arm.
Wow.
Maybe they shouldn't have built the train tracks right next to such a deep ravine.
Humanity. Yeah, all the humanity. Fantastic job, guys.
Pam and Michael, you guys okay?
When did it happen?
It happened right about, sure, I'm lucky. It happened right where you guys met.
Really? Yeah, that's what it seemed like. We were both going at the same time.
Yeah, sure, I'm lucky. Yeah, right in the middle.
And that is why... That's why in the 1940s at Yankee Stadium, they did not have someone standing next to Lou Gehrig reading the speech backwards. They were very smart about it. They were prescient.
There would have been a huge hole.
Yeah, exactly.
To the center of the world.
Exactly. Because that's what happens when great speeches collide.
Exactly. And great speakers.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Great reading with you, Pam.
May I say you guys make a great couple?
They do. I hung up on them, but yeah, they were a great couple.
They should get together, and because they'd have the cutest meet story ever.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you see,
they met on When Great Speeches Collide.
Let's get them together. We've met Pam. Any guy would be lucky to be with Pam. And Michael seems great. Did you hear him reading backwards?
They're both great. Yeah. I don't know who Michael is.
Well,
I have an idea who he might be.
I think he's the Iron Man of baseball.
No, that was Lou Gehrig.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see. You're right.
Yeah, he was just reading the words of Lou Gehrig.
Is the Michael you think he was? Is he a single guy?
No.
Is he happily married? Does his wife travel a lot?
Yeah, she does travel a lot.
Oh, then we should get them together.
Yeah, okay. All right, the phone number is 201-209-9368. We're playing When Great Speeches Collide. You know how the game is played.
Yeah, you've been playing it on schoolyards and since you were a toddler, probably.
Yeah. A couple of rounds of Johnny on the Pony, a couple of rounds of When Great Speeches Collide,
yeah,
and then some tic-tac-toe to cool down. All right, here we go.
Hey, you guys, what are you kids doing? I've been calling you for dinner for a half hour. Come on, Mom. Let us play a little more When Great Speeches Collide.
Hi, you're on the air. What's your name?
This is Steve from the future here.
Hey, Steve.
Steve from the future, meaning?
Steve from the future. He's from Australia or something.
Yeah, meaning time zone future.
Yeah.
Hey, that'll be very exciting.
Yes.
We might wait hours for these speeches to collide.
Steve, which speech would you like to read?
Couldn't I read the Winston Churchill speech?
Yeah.
We got it up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big one.
Very inspiring.
That's a great speech.
Very inspiring. No one more inspiring. And then who's going? Steve, would you like to read it backwards or forwards?
I'll take forwards.
Okay.
Oh, that's exactly the choice that Winston Churchill made.
Yes,
he read, yes.
Yes, you're right. The Queen offered him the option of reading
it
backwards.
I understand. It was a very famous scene. They flipped the coin.
Yep.
Now, in hindsight, I'm so glad that it came up heads.
History would have been totally different.
201-209-9368.
All right, now we need somebody to read the Winston Churchill speech backwards.
Your Majesty, I have one decision I need your help with.
What's going on here?
Find the callers, Ken.
Hi, you're on the air. What's your name?
That's you.
Caller number two, you're there.
Make him say hello, Ken.
Hey, Steve, we got you still, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Make him say hello.
And then
make him talk, Ken.
I'm trying. They're not saying nothing.
Well, they're being very coy.
I'm going to hang up on them.
My coy mistress.
If you would like to read the Winston Churchill speech backwards, please call us back at 201-209-9368. We're playing When Great Speeches Collide. Steve from Australia is on the line to read.
If you or someone you love has a hankering to read the Winston Churchill speech backwards.
Hi, you're on the air. What's your name?
Hello, this is David from Queens.
Hi, David.
Hey, David, say hi to your speech partner, Steve.
Hello, Steve from the future.
Hello, David from Queens.
Oh, God.
I think since I'm going backwards, well, I don't know what that's going to do to time.
Well, we've been debating that. The question is, should Steve get a little bit of a head start? Ken and I take opposite views on this.
Yes, we do.
It's been working out right in the sweet middle.
It's been working out on or close to the middle. Yes, it's true. Should we pause before we begin and ask God to forgive us, Ken?
Sure.
For wasting everyone's time.
Yeah, great idea.
Heavenly Father, we just ran out of ideas. We know you understand. If you truly are all-powerful, please give us a new idea next week.
Amen.
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 Okay.
Kenny G is going to be really jealous, though, because this is more unlistenable than he ever got.
Okay, so we got David, right? David in Queens?
Yeah, that's true. It is a Kenny G-ish idea.
Yeah.
It's an homage.
And we got Steve in Australia, Steve from the future. And are you guys ready to go?
Ready. Sure am.
On your mark, get set.
What's going to happen when they collide, Ken?
A collision.
Oh, God. Oh, God, the suspense is killing me.
And go.
Surrender.
We
never
shall go on to the end.
Kill the inn. The fight shall we.
We shall fight on the
inn and feel the inn. fight shall we.
Growing confident.
Grounds landing
growing
on the fight
in the air.
Shall we.
We shall
beaches
defend
on
our
the
island.
Fight. Shall we.
Whatever the cost
be.
May, be.
May cost
the we
whatever.
Shall fight on the
island
beaches.
Our defense.
We
shall
fight
we.
Fight on the landing ground.
Air the end.
I never saw that coming. I wouldn't have guessed.
Ken, it's not even 6:30.
I would not have guessed in a million years,
Ken,
that there would be a disaster like this.
While they were on the same track.
From people reading the same speech. Who would have ever thought such a thing? Why is there a machine gun?
Oh, the humanity.
Oh, the humanity.
Well, this wasn't our fault. What else could we expect?
Steve, David, are you guys okay?
That was truly catastrophic.
I'm just glad I'm not alone right now, you know?
Yeah, well, it wasn't our fault. You guys did it.
Thanks for playing when great speeches collide.
Pleasure. Love
okay, Ken, we got to hit pause.
Okay.
Ken, it's not even 6:30.
It's 6:28.
Ken, this can't go on. This is as bad as it gets.
I think we got three more speeches.
Oh, Ken.
We did three speeches in the first half of the show.
At least let's just kind of change it up. Let's
do
something.
We got some nice long speeches. We got FDR's A Day, Which Will Live in Infamy. That's a long one.
Yeah.
We got the Gettysburg Address. Haven't even gone there yet.
Yeah.
Sojourner Truth, Ain't I a Woman?
I don't know that one.
1851.
1851?
Yeah.
So it's before the Civil War?
Yep.
It was some kind of manifesto?
Yeah.
She was rallying the cause, of the abolitionist cause?
I believe suffragettes.
Oh, suffragettes?
Yes, I believe so.
It was about voting? It was about women voting? Or is it about slavery?
I don't know. I'm going to be honest and say...
Well, you'll find out.
We'll find out.
You'll find out soon.
Yes.
When someone reads it.
Yeah. So we need... you don't want to move forward anymore.
Well, hold on. I just want to hit pause.
Okay.
We just have to regroup.
All right. Let's regroup.
I'm speaking on behalf of me and everyone listening.
Okay. I'm speaking on behalf of myself.
By all that's holy.
Well,
is
we already
another
did,
way to do this?
We already did the prayer.
What if we did this? What if somebody reads that suffragette poem, right?
Okay.
And somebody else reads the FDR poem. I'm sorry, not poem. I misspoke. The speech. And if they say the same word at the same time, then they've collided.
It'll never happen.
But if they go one word at a time, if they each read one word, you don't think so?
No, it's not going to happen.
Even a preposition?
Yeah.
Even a simple adjective?
I think you could wait a long time for that to happen.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about this at length before the show. But fine, we can give it a shot.
You don't think if we have someone reading the Gettysburg Address, and someone reading the FDR speech, there's not one single word that they don't have in common?
Oh, no, there's probably lots of words they have in common. But
at the same placement in the speech.
Yeah, the chance of... So they're both reading them beginning to end.
Let me ask you this. Is the second word of the FDR speech score?
Let me see.
Oh, I hope it is. Oh, I hope it is. You'll eat your words. I hope it is.
No. The second word of the FDR speech is December. See?
Yeah.
You're hoping for something that is very, very unlikely to happen fast.
Okay, let me just ask you this, because I'm not a history buff. I'm not some kind of, you know, does Lincoln at any point in the Gettysburg Address talk about the Japanese threat?
Let me check.
The surprise attack that Japan has just launched.
No.
No.
Nope, that was quite a while.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah, the Gettysburg Address was November 1860.
I got you. I just didn't have the timeline in my head. I got you. Okay.
1860.
I got you now. I got you.
Yeah, different sentence.
I got you.
Yeah.
I understand. My bad.
1863.
I understand.
Versus...
Yeah, I understand. It's way before.
1940.
Yeah, way before there was a whole naval threat
right.
from Asia. Okay.
Well, I wouldn't.
He was addressing other concerns.
Right.
I got you.
He was talking about the Civil War.
I got you. He was talking about the battle at Gettysburg.
Yeah, about the North and the South fighting each other.
Well, it was after the big battle at Gettysburg.
Right.
He was consecrating. Ooh, does FDR talk about consecrating this holy ground at all?
Let me check.
Because then they would overlap. Then the speeches would collide.
No, he talks about the Japanese attacking Hong Kong and Guam and the Philippines.
Those are all subjects Lincoln, I believe, cut out of his speech at the last minute.
Wake Island. No, he didn't have those in his speech.
You didn't see the first draft.
That's true. I did not see the first draft. I don't think anybody did.
No. Mary Todd said, Abe, one suggestion, if you don't mind. Cut out the whole thing about the Asian threat, about Hong Kong.
And Guam.
And Guam and Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Just cut it out. Just stick to the Civil War, the immediate problem.
That Mary Todd, she was a hell of an editor.
She was a good editor.
Yeah.
She's the unsung hero of that administration.
All right, well, we had a call, but we were babbling. And
I wonder why the call gave up. I can't imagine.
So we've now killed 5 minutes.
Oh, please, Ken. How was your week? How was your week? Ken, how was your week? Ken, how was your week? Did your basement flood again?
Nope.
No? Any flooding at all?
None.
Anybody flooded?
Nope. But I have
lots. How was your week?
How
was your week, Ken?
I do have a new boiler story.
You have a new boiler story? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I flooded very badly during Ida, and the water did destroy the gas valve on my hot water heater and the furnace both. But Jeremiah came by and fixed everything. And it wasn't until long after he left that I realized that my electric baseboard heaters are broken as well from the flood. And those things are sealed in copper tubing. So it's unlikely that anything really shorted out or got damaged. And it's probably more likely that what happened was the thermostat may have shorted out or something went seriously wrong with the thermostat. If you enjoyed this boiler story, listener Lyman has done a whole comic book strip of my boiler stories. And I had them up on today's playlist page, but I had to take them down because, of course, we're playing When Great Speeches Collide. But the comic, the boiler...
You're saying that those electric base heaters...
Electric baseboard, yeah.
Baseboard heaters...
Yeah.
...are sealed, are waterproof.
Yes. Waterproof. Sealed in copper.
But there must be some kind of slots in them. So the heat can be emitted. The heat can come out.
Well, the heat comes out of the copper, but the copper is enclosed. The water flows through the copper. Hot water flows through.
How about in the seams when they're fused, when they're connected to each other, or at the corners?
No, you're right. I'm talking about hot water baseboard heating. Yeah, electric baseboard heating. I have no clue, no idea.
Huh, fascinating.
No idea what I'm talking
about. Fascinating. No, you don't at all.
No.
Fascinating.
But Jeremiah told me.
Yeah, fascinating.
That.
So this is now a secondhand horrible boiler story. They are the best kind. 201-209-9368. Was that your way of making me miss When Great Speeches Collide?
Yes. Yes, it was.
All right.
Hi, you're on the air. What's your name?
Michael.
Hey, Michael. Not the same Michael as before, am I right?
No.
Excellent.
Well, that's easy to check.
Michael, what would you like to read?
Just look in the mirror.
Here on
Gettysburg Address.
Gettysburg Address, backwards or forwards, my friend?
Forward.
Well okay. Chosen.
Well chosen. I believe that's the same call Lincoln made. And then...
No, that was Mary Todd's choice.
Yeah, Mary Todd.
Beginning to end.
Yeah.
He wrote it backward like Da Vinci, but looked in the mirror.
All right, here we go.
Mary, wake up. I have a crazy idea. You know the speech I'm giving tomorrow?
All right, Michael's going to read the Gettysburg Address beginning to end.
Okay, now we need someone to read the Gettysburg Address backwards.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, who's this? What's your name? What's your name?
Chase.
I don't think this will work.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to work. Hi, what's your name? You're on the air.
Oh, hey, I'm Justin.
Hi, Justin.
Hey, Justin.
Michael and Justin.
Hold on, wait, let me make a note. Wait, Michael's going to read the Gettysburg Address
forward, beginning to end.
Top to bottom.
Right.
Justin, starting at the bottom. Justin, do you have it in front of you?
The Gettysburg? Yeah, I got it in front of me.
Okay. So, Justin, are you ready to read it backwards?
I'm not ready, but I'm ready.
Okay, I understand. Ken, what's going to happen when these two people collide? One person's reading it frontwards, the other person's working backwards. At some point near the middle, they're going to collide with each other.
There may be a collision, Andy. And
I can only pray they miss each other
somehow. The extent of that collision depends on whether or not they're reading it in a valley or on top of a mountain.
Well, it depends on what the speed is that they're reading it.
True, true.
They might want to try reading it at a more deliberate pace.
I certainly hope there's not a ravine nearby.
Is there any way at all that one reader could be sidelined? What's it called? The switch? The tracks?
Oh, yeah, the line switch, right?
The line switch that's... Uh-huh. What is that called on a train when there's a side little?
Yeah,
they go off to the side.
The track switch.
They sidetrack where one train can wait for the other train to pass.
Yeah.
That's when Agatha Christie characters look out the window.
It's known as the sissy switch.
It is.
I believe, yeah.
You mean it's for people that don't want to risk a head-on collision?
Yeah, because
if you're too much of a sissy.
Yeah, real men conductors don't use the sissy switch.
They play chicken.
Yeah.
On the same line.
Yeah. But if you want to have somebody operating the sissy switch, that's okay. You can do that.
No, we're going to go. We're going to just see
what
happens.
Michael, you're going to read beginning to end, and Justin, you're going to read end to the beginning, and avoid each other in the middle, would you? Ready?
We're in the middle.
On your mark.
We'll try.
Get set. Go.
May God have mercy on your soul.
Fourscore and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation. Conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Is all together. Oh my God. Ah, the humanity. Oh my God.
Are you guys okay, Michael and Justin?
I feel like my brain threw up.
I don't know that Michael made it, but Justin, you're doing okay?
Let that be a lesson. Let that be a lesson to you, to everyone listening.
I'm sorry, I called this number.
Never, ever, ever listen to the radio. You have Spotify you could listen to. There's Apple Music now.
YouTube.
Never listen to live radio.
Bandcamp.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's a lot of alternatives to
this.
At least
we're teaching people a lesson.
Right.
At least something good is coming out of this.
Jesus.
How can you subscribe to Spotify? Is it easy?
Yeah, yeah. Very
easy. Download the app?
You can download the app for your phone. You can do it on a desktop. Also, you don't have to get a paid account. You don't have to pay $10 a month.
And what happens then? There's commercial.
If you use it for free, then you get ads.
That's a small price to pay.
Yeah, even with the ads,
yeah,
it's better than this.
Oh, of course. No, yeah. It's a small price to pay.
Right.
So it's Spotify. What other options do people have?
Oh, YouTube.
Of course.
I do a lot of music listening on YouTube.
You do?
Yeah. And you also don't have to pay. If you use Firefox with an ad blocker, then it eliminates all the ads. Easy peasy.
Well,
but even with the ads, it's better than the Fuzzy Glove Hour.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what? Maybe some good will come from this.
A lot of people are interested in Lyman's Boiler comic strip. They want to know how they can see it. Because it has actually, not only is it hilarious, but it also has some really good information about boilers. It'll be up on the Fuzzy Glove Hour playlist page next Wednesday night.
As opposed to you, there's no information about boilers.
No, I got a lot of information. I just am still coming up to speed on electric baseboard here.
You have a lot of information, but it's all wrong.
I wouldn't say that, no.
I know you wouldn't, but I'll be saying it.
If my electric baseboard heat is okay, if all I need is a new thermostat, then I was right. I guess we'll find out.
Only if we all listen next week, we'll find out.
Are you
what
here
are the
next
odds
week?
Of that? You know, I may not be. I'm moving next week.
Oh, jeez. Well, then it'll be a great moment because you know what I have. I know that you did some work on the, was it John Candy vehicle, Hot to Trot? Is that right?
I did a rewrite, an uncredited rewrite.
Yeah, you did an uncredited rewrite on Hot to Trot.
Are you going to have a screening of it?
No, but DJ Sue, who does the show on Thursday, Sue's Thing with a Hook, she met the two guys who trained the horse that was used in Hot to Trot.
I'd love to meet them.
And she did an interview with them. And I think I will air that next week.
Well, Hot to Trot, that was before they could digitize lips.
Right.
So all they could do was make the horse yap his mouth open and shut.
Right.
And God knows, I don't even want to know how they made it, the horse open and shut his mouth.
Yeah.
But it made it possible to dub in different lines for the horse.
Right.
Post-production.
But it was a very well-behaved horse. It was a well-trained horse.
I don't know anything about it.
How did they keep the horse warm?
These are stupid questions that no one's ever asked. But I did a rewrite on it because they realized they could add lines in post-production
right.
without re-editing the movie or so reshooting the movie.
You wrote the horse's lines.
Because the horse just opened and shut its lips. But the lines had to match exactly the tempo of the horse opening and shutting its
very
lips.
Challenging writing and, assignment.
Yeah, it is, and yeah. It had to match the exact length.
And,
of
and
the
did
sentence.
Any of your horse lines make it into the final movie?
There might have been one joke. They brought in other writers after me, of course.
Well, next week we'll be talking to the two gentlemen who trained the horse from Hot to Trot. Was that the second movie you wrote?
I don't know. Yeah. It was. It's not the first thing on my resume.
Yeah.
I know that. It'll be the first thing on my obituary. Do you ever think about your obituary in the New York Times?
I don't, no. I don't. Should I write it?
No, you can't write it. They have to write it.
Yeah. I could send it to them anonymously.
I hope I'm quoted.
What would your quote be?
I hope they come and they interview me while I'm dancing on your grave, doing a little jig. We spoke to his co-host, Andy Breckman, at the cemetery.
Why were you dancing, Mr. Breckman?
And you know what I'd refer them to? This show.
All right.
Let me play you an hour of radio called When Great Speeches Collide. And you know, by the end of that hour, the two journalists from the New York Times will be dancing with me, clog dancing with me.
They don't know how to clog dance.
They will learn.
No, New York Times
dance on your grave.
New York Times writers and editors do not know how to clog dance. I guarantee it.
If you died first, I'm going to play this hour. I'm going to play this hour in the little temple at your memorial service.
It's not going to be at a temple. Jesus.
Yeah, well, you won't know where it is. I'm going to surprise you.
You're not making the arrangements.
It's going to be an Orthodox Jewish funeral.
No, it's not.
Want to bet? I'll bet you a dollar.
Oh, my God. Are you going to cleanse my dead body and do those prayers, too?
First, I'll have to carve off your tattoos.
See? There you go. No can do. I'm too covered with tattoos. Hey, this is very sad, but we only have 13 minutes left to play When Great Speeches Collide. So,
Isn't our theme song 13 minutes long?
No. So if you've been dying to play When Great Speeches Collide, I don't believe...
What's the next speech?
Well,
FDR?
We haven't done FDR's.
That's a long one.
A Date Which Will Live in Infamy. We haven't done Sojourner Truth's Ain't I a Woman.
Well, let's do that one. It's a little shorter.
Yeah. So give us a call, 201-209-9368. and play Great Speeches Collide. When Great Speeches Collide. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, it's right. This is really being broadcast? Prove yeah. it.
No, we're on
Prove
the air.
It. No. We are?
Yeah, we are on the air. I don't know how to prove it to you.
I'm surprised no one's called a missile strike in on that antenna.
Oh, don't worry. They have. There have been a number of missile strikes.
Some drone attack.
There's a station in Houston that was bombed by the Ku Klux Klan twice. KPFT.
Well, that's probably a badge of honor they now,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
We've never been bombed. No one cares enough to bomb us.
No. Who do you wish would bomb us? The Klan?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
Proud Boys?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Some crazy right-wingers?
Boogaloo Boys?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out who would be best.
I don't know.
Hey, somebody wants to play When Great Speeches Collide. Hi, you're on the air. What's your name?
Hey, I'm Anthony. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Anthony.
We're living a dream, right, Ken?
Yep, I am. I'm living a dream.
Anthony, do
I
you have...
the show. I can't believe I got that.
Oh, yeah, that's the sweetest thing I ever heard. Anthony, do you have the speeches in front of you on the website?
Oh, that's... maybe I should call back.
Yeah, call back. Quickly.
Yeah.
Hi, you're on the air. What's your name?
Oh, this is Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Hold on, I'm going to have to cross out Anthony.
Right, Larry.
I got it. Done and
yeah,
done.
Right, Larry. I'll be Anthony if you need me to, Anthony.
Hold on. Now I'm crossing out Larry, I'm writing Anthony again.
Larry, do you have the FDR speech, A Date Which Will Live in Infamy, in front of you?
Yeah, I'm just bringing it up.
Okay.
I must say, the imagery here.
Oh, I know. Oh,
why don't we...
Artifacts. It's tough. Why don't we do it, though, Ken?
Why don't we have Larry... Start it now, and then, because it's a long speech, and we'll get someone at our leisure to read it backwards.
That might not work.
I think it will work, Ken.
Okay. Larry.
Go ahead, Larry. You start reading it.
You go ahead, Larry.
Just from the beginning?
Yeah.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941.
Oh, he's reading it dramatically.
You keep track of where he's at.
I don't.
A Date Which Will Live in Infamy.
And if you would like to read A Day Which Will Live in Infamy backwards, give us a call now at 201-209-9368. We're playing When Great Speeches Collide. This is one of the great ones, A Day Which Will Live in Infamy.
And
December 7th, 1941. This isn't happening now. The United States was at peace with the nation.
He's very convincing. He sounds exactly like FDR. Come on, 201-209-9368.
Was still in.
We need somebody
to... I don't think he's really reading this. He's not committed to this.
Conversation with its government and the emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. Do you think they mean ocean there?
Well, see, though, he's...
He's going off script.
I know. He's going down
Indeed,
some
cyber. Indeed, 1 hour after the Japanese air squadron had commenced bombing in the American... This is December 7, 1941. Is not happening now.
He keeps adding things.
On the American island of Oahu,
I don't know if this
Japanese
is the best
ambassador
choice for us.
I'm sorry, Anthony. Anthony, we have to go.
Secretary of State.
Well, now he's trying to. Now he's
to
redeemed himself.
I'm gonna
American message.
Turn you off, Anthony.
Yes.
Keep going.
While this reply stated that it seemed useless.
Hi, caller number two. Just start from the end.
To continue.
Go ahead.
The existing. Diplomatic
in reverse.
That contain no threat or hint of war or armed attack. It will be recorded. This is December 7th, 1941. It will be recorded in the distance of Hawaii from Japan. Makes it obvious that the attack was deliberately planned many days or even, looked like oven, even weeks ago. During the intervening time, the government has deliberately sought to deceive the United States by false statements and expressions of hope for continued peace on Twitter. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands had caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many Americans' lives have been lost. This is December 7th, 1941. This is not happening now. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu, December 7, 1941. Yesterday, the Japanese government also launched
surprise
as attack against
undertaken
Hanya. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Hong Kong, December 7, 1941. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Guam. Last night, Japanese forces attacked the Philippine Islands. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Wake Island, December 7, 1941.
Exactly as I predicted.
What, the collision?
Yeah. Well,
why is the train whistle still blowing this long after the collision?
That's the brave, brave engineer struggling to calm the crowd.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Did we do it?
Oh.
You guys did it. Congratulations.
You guys okay?
I'm flabbergasted.
That's exactly the word.
Gary, Andy, I must admire the performance art of the piece tonight.
Gary. Yeah, you don't have to admire. Admiring this show is optional. You don't have to admire it.
But you can express appreciation. How does it make you feel that he admires the show?
Embarrassed.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys. I'm glad you survived the collision.
And great speeches.
We have one more speech to do. It's the Sojourner Truth 1851 Ain't I a Woman speech.
Why don't you do a little research? Tell us about the speech. You don't just read it. Just do a little. Wait, I'm going to Google this.
It's a feminist. It's a pro-feminism, pro-suffragette speech.
Before the Civil War?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, very, very impressive.
Okay, wait. Sojourner. How do you spell that?
S-O-J-O-U-R-N-E-R.
Sojourner. Wait, ain't.
Hi,
oh, here it is. Hold on. Wait,
hi, you're on the air. What's your name?
Hey, it's Anthony.
Hey, Anthony. How you doing?
Good. I love the show. I can't believe I got through again.
I can't believe either.
Wait, I'm going to put a little context here.
Okay, so
why not? Why not learn something? Just brace yourself, Ken. You're going to learn something.
Okay.
Okay? And for that, I know you will never forgive me. Ain't I a Woman is the text of a speech that Sojourner delivered in 1851 at the Women's Convention in Akron, Ohio. The women in the attendance were being challenged to call for the right to vote. The purpose of the speech was to persuade the audience that giving women the right to vote is just common sense.
Yeah. I told you it was a suffragette thing.
Yeah.
Thanks for confirming.
It's what they call a suffragette thing.
Yeah. Thanks for confirming that, though.
And then, you know, I'm not a big history wonk like you. Did women end up getting the right to vote?
They did eventually, yeah.
So their vote counts the same as my vote?
Yep.
So their vote, in effect, cancels out my vote.
They can vote.
We might as well just not vote. Neither of us.
Why are you assuming that there's a woman who would always vote opposite the way you do?
I see. Oh, no, good point.
Yeah,
good
that's
point.
A fallacy.
Good point. Yeah. Hey, here's an interesting thing about the speech. It was delivered extemporaneously.
Whoa!
It was not written down beforehand.
Well, it's written down now.
And here's something else. Sojourner Truth, who died in 1883,
yeah.
So she lived to see slavery abolished, was born into slavery in New York State.
Mm-hmm.
Into slavery in New York State.
Wow.
Sometime after gaining her freedom in 1827, she became well-known anti-slavery speaker. So she spoke against slavery and, I guess, for the suffragette movement.
Suffragette movement.
Yeah, the speech was briefly reported in two contemporary newspapers. A transcript of the speech was published in the Anti-Slavery Bugle. Oh, my subscription just lapsed.
Of the Bugle?
Of the Anti-Slavery Bugle.
Oh, I'll lend you my copies.
It's good to hear both sides of the question. So I subscribe to the Anti-Slavery
Bugle. Oh, I know that you get all those White Power magazines.
Yeah, but it's good. It's good to read everything.
Yeah, I've seen them around your house.
It received wider publicity in 1863 during the Civil War.
Yeah, I'm not down with the White Power thing.
Well.
But, no, you go your own way, my friend.
Well, hold on. The phrase, am I not a man and a brother, has been used. Oh, okay, so that's...
You're using up all the time that
exactly.
We would have
used. Okay, let's go. Let's just do it. Oh, wait, wait, wait. We have time to do it. Let's just do it.
We do? Okay.
It's a short speech. Go, go, go. I'm
okay.
sorry.
Caller number two. What's your name?
Doesn't matter.
Alex.
Doesn't
Alex.
Matter. Who the hell cares?
Okay.
We're rolling.
Go ahead.
What direction?
There. You're rolling. Caller number two, you're going backwards.
No, that's me. Right?
Yes, go, go, go.
Okay.
Nobody ever helps me in a carriage is a little bit funny. Because you're the best person.
You're listening to When Great Speeches Collide. Here on the Fuzzy Glove Hour.
No man could
you can't
me.
Unlisten. It's much, much, much too late.
And the speech in progress now is Ain't I a Woman by Sojourner Truth.
Ain't I a Woman.
Yes, so ends another thrilling episode of When Great Speeches Collide here on WFMU East Orange.
So starting next week, we begin all over. We go back 30 years, and we start doing all the old ideas again.
WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org. Thank you to Jeremiah for the newsletter. Next week, the Boiler Comic.
Well, maybe I can come in.
Oh, that would be great.
You can run that on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Coming up next, it's Weekly World Blues with Matt Fibad.
Sound of the blues scale. The blues scale is very simple, very useful, but also very simple to build. All you have to do is know your minor pentatonic scales. So in this case, I was playing A.
The blues come so many different ways until it's kind of hard to explain.
Forgive me, darling.